It's a beautiful day here down on the coastal bend, 3 o'clock in the afternoon where we are, and I look forward to spending this time with you, receiving a blessing from Christ. It's always a pleasure, always a privilege to be here and to convey this very special spirit of love, this spirit of healing, and sometimes it's a spirit of bliss. It all depends on what we're ready for, what we're willing to receive, and what we need. And we come to this place as we would come to an altar, asking to receive according to the desires and needs of our heart. And I would ask that you be somewhat reverent in this time and place, but also let's rejoice in our community and make the call available to anyone who wishes to speak. This is your time. We have 10 minutes for questions or requests for a blessing for loved ones or for yourself or a particular goal or need that you have. The way you get on the call is you press *6 and then 1. The prompts are all there, so just follow them. As soon as you press *6, you're on. And I'll look for the little face on my call board. So far, I don't see anyone coming on, but that could change any minute. And I just want to say how grateful I am to have this opportunity to love and serve in this way. Now we have a caller from. Well, it says Toronto, but I believe it's not, but you're on.
Hello, Glenda. This is Helen from New Zealand.
I thought so.
Glenda, in your connections with Yeshua, did he ever recommend to you that you harness creative healing energy from your group to radiate divine love and light around the world and to specific spots, for example, Syria at the moment, so that we can collectively make a difference rather than just individually doing our own thing?
Oh, absolutely. That is the whole idea. The whole idea is that as you receive a blessing, you become a transmitter for that same energy outward to the environment. And one of the reasons we are calling for not only more blessing receivers, but blessing givers, is because the more transmitters we have around the earth, the more we begin to have an impact on the whole environment. So it is intended to be a collective phenomena. Now, that isn't the way it started. I'll quickly tell the story of how this started one more time, and that was 5 years ago before I was scheduled to have surgery for my first hip replacement. And you might also think, well, Glenda, gee, if you have him as your constant companion, how did you ever get in that predicament? Couldn't you have just asked him to heal you? Well, no. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't take away our challenges. And even though I would ask, he would say, you need to find your assistance and your growth and your relief from interacting with your fellow man. He said that I come to you through them. He made it very clear to me from the beginning that he did not come to me to give me an escape route from dealing with my fellow man or finding the joy, the genius, the love, the bliss that I could have within community. As he said to the apostles, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. And he made it very clear to them that you receive him through others. He came to build community So that's something very, very important to emphasize, because he didn't come to give us an escape from the human race. He came to give us courage to love our fellow man, to become a better part of the human community, to elevate the human community, and then find ways that we can love, serve, and help one another. And so, so many times when I've needed assistance, like I would go to him and say, I really need help in this, and he would say, you've got some friends, call them. In other words, he didn't give me an escape route. He didn't come to give any of us an escape route. He came to give us a better path, an easier path, a more productive path, a more successful path. And that path almost invariably connects us to one another. The last two commandments he gave, he left us with, is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And if you do that, well, you're going to tap into your own inner power. And that's how you tap into your own inner power, is to know that by loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you become the child of God you were created to be. How's that for activating your power? And then you love others as yourself, and that's where you find your support, or you give support. One or the other, or both. Optimally, both, and many times over. And so this is what he came to give us. He didn't come to give us an escape route. He doesn't think that our earth and our human community is something to escape from. He thinks it's something we need to transform. Yes. We need to elevate. Yes. We need to love. Yes. We need to transmute with love and the spirit of love. Yes. That we need to improve. Yes. Yes to all of the above, but escape? No. As a matter of fact, when the greatest temptation of his life came to him from the devil, the dark side, the dark one, the evil one, he said, look, you've got all the powers of the universe. Just escape. You don't have to go through this. And he said, get behind me, Satan. This isn't what I came for. He said, no matter what they throw at me, I'm walking through it. I'm not escaping it. I'm walking through it, and I'm coming out on the other side. Now, that's Glinda's paraphrase of what he said, of course, but it captures the spirit. He basically said to the evil one, you're ridiculous. You're a fool if you think that escaping is the way to success. So to get back to your question, Helen, is that as we become more filled with the love of God, more empowered by the grace and the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, we're naturally going to radiate out more to others and be able to live the two commandments he left us with. If you really, really want to live those two commandments, come to the Blessing Seminar in October 10th and 11th. You will be so filled as you've never been filled before. I've never, never seen one person who didn't say it was the event of their life. The opportunity to really become all that you were created to be. And that's really what it's all about, so that we can actually activate this God-created community that some people say is just going to seed, others people say it's going to hell. I don't think so. I look at the human race and I just see nothing but potential, just awesome potential of all that we can be, and especially if we work together to support one another. And you know what? Everybody, there is no limitation to success. The success of one person simply creates more success potential for the next person. And we've got a webinar that's coming up. It's going to start on the 20th of September, then the 24th of September, and the 4th of October. We've got three lessons that will precede our live blessing seminar, and it's all about how to have the easiest way to the best possible life. And it's really understanding these principles. There have been lots and lots of books written on success, and I have some of them in my library, and I love them, and I've read them many times, and thank God that somebody decided to let other people know how they got to success, because success creates success. But this is a different type of lesson. This is about how you find the success that's already indwelling in you, ready to be released, and how you don't have to have a life that's as hard as it is. We all need challenges. Challenges are good for us. They strengthen us. They give us purpose. They give us motivation. And they allow us to discover all the talents we have and even discover how much love we have inside ourselves that's worth sharpening under fire. Challenges are good for us, but we suffer way too much hardship that comes from going down the wrong path, trying to achieve success by somebody else's standard, somebody else's idea of success. You've got to first learn what your ideal of success is. What is it inside you that really will make a difference in the world? What was there from the very beginning that you need to uncover and let shine in your life? What is your path? You know, when you get on your path and you're not taking all these wrong turns, you don't mind the bumps in the road. They're actually, well, I hate these speed bumps, I have to admit. I'm a good driver, and I naturally slow down in school zones, and I wish everybody else did also, so we could get rid of the doggone speed bumps. But the real challenges I love. As long as I'm on my path, I like a painting that I can really sink my teeth into, and the challenge is my strength. I love writing a book that's so worth writing. I don't mind if it's tough. I don't mind if it's hard. If I need to do my research and spend hours in prayer to get in the zone, I love that. When you're on your path, we love the challenges. When we don't like the challenges is when we're off our path and we're walking on somebody else's highway. That's when we don't like it, and we need to learn how to know when that's what's happening, because we need to get rid of those. We need to get rid of somebody else's ideal of success, and we need to be the lighthouse in our life that we are. And the other thing, too, which is so, so amazing, is the miracle of inner joy. Oh, my gosh, what a difference it makes. There are so many people who have actually been theoretically on their deathbed. And because they were there, they started reviewing their life and finding all the moments of joy they had. And then their loved ones began surrounding them around the bed, and they realized how much love they had given and received. And that joy was so enormous, they didn't die. They healed. It was literally a miracle. I was just out on the patio before the blessing talking to one of my best friends, and he was telling me about this guy who was in stage 3.5 cancer. Don't know what kind of cancer it was, but he decided, gosh, I don't want to leave this planet without leaving a legacy about my success. And he had, I think if I remember the story right, I wasn't planning on telling you guys today, but it just fits in perfectly. So he had about one good hour a day when he had enough energy to video himself and record the success principles of his life. And so he made a video book that he thought was going to be his legacy to the world. But he found within it his own true path. I mean, I'm laughing because it's so true. He found his own true path finally. He found his inner joy, which became the miracle in his life. And guess who didn't die? I think he went on to become a multimillionaire and went on to then really live his path. That's the miracle of inner joy. In the seminar, I'm going to tell you about a world famous person who helped to found the University of Peace in, I think it was Puerto Rico, and he was the assistant attorney general of the UN. Spent much of his youth in one of the Nazi prison camps, on death row, watching his friends and family around him being herded into cars never to return. In that space, he discovered inner joy. And from that, day by day, he cultivated from within himself the path he was to walk. And that path perfected every moment, so that every moment became an inch better toward his release, his escape, his victory from that predicament. I'll tell the whole story in the course. It's amazing how inch by inch this became his victory and his life. And that's the point, is when we are on our path, even the darkest of hurdles become the light of our path. We don't mind them. It's different from the hurdles we face when we're on somebody else's victory path. We don't make it. We literally don't make it to somebody else's victory. We make it to ours, and that's the key. That's the key. And when we discover that, that's the miracle of inner joy. And it does, we could be in prison. We could be on death row. We find that inner joy. Miracles happen. And it's awesome. It's awesome what happens. That, of course, happened to Yeshua on the cross. And even though physically it hurt, and it hurt a lot, he was in this place of spiritual anesthesia because he was on his true path. He knew the victory. He was in the middle of his victory every moment, inch by inch, moving toward the victory. You see, everything in life takes on a different perspective when we're on our path. And no, the challenges don't go away, but they're our challenges. And they're the type of challenges that perfect our life. And no, all the pain doesn't go away, but it's our pain that we learn from and that builds our compassion and our ability to have compassion with one another. And, yes, we've got to build our spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical muscles. But on the other side of it, we're strong. You know, the thing is, if we wanted life to not have any challenges at all, we would never, ever have left heaven. Why ever leave the angels? I used to play with the angels for years and years after Yeshua was with me in person because I could hardly get my feet to walk on the ground. So I made my new life purpose out of helping other people connect with their angels. And my friends, it's bliss where they live. Why would we ever come down to this level if we didn't have a goal, a person, a purpose, if we didn't want a challenge? But we want it to be our challenge. And we want victory on the other side. We want fulfillment on the other side. We want to come through the darkness as a lighted candle, not a burned out old fire pit where we sat around and sang songs that didn't mean anything to us because we were off our path. We don't need hype. We need results. And we're tired of things that don't work. How about let's opt for things that do work? And I'm actually thinking right now about something that, a plan that I guess I need to change. I thought we were going to have 10 minutes of community conversation and then 30 minutes or 20 minutes of me speaking on behalf of Yeshua. Well, we had one question and he was ready to talk. Helen, I guess you got a bigger answer than you opted for, but I hope we got your question answered and answered satisfactorily for what you were hoping to learn. We have someone else on the call now, and I think we're just going to go ahead and take it because it looks to me like questions are begetting questions, and let's just go for it. Oh, that's you, Helen. Helen, are you happy with the answer?
Thank you, Glenda. Yes.
Okay, great. Great. And we have someone else on the call, if I can just get to that place on the call board. It's, here we go. It's a wireless caller from area code 989, and you're on.
Hi, friend. I'm Jerry, and I'm calling regarding grieving the loss of my wife who died about several months ago following 10 years of Alzheimer's. And what you told Helen very much applies to us because it's almost, I think, part of my mission was to become her husband and caregiver because as we went through the agonizing 10 years of her Alzheimer's, it seems like she blossomed in love and peacefulness and would almost, we had 10 months of hospice care and it literally seems like she could see her angels comforting her and she was able to express love to her caregivers and to me and I was just mainly calling for a blessing because my grief at times is overwhelming but it's also accompanied with a depth of joy that I had this wonderful relationship with this wonderful woman.
Oh, Jerry, you were blessed. And I think there's two things you're missing. One, of course, is your beloved wife. But she's still with you. And all you have to do is just ask for her connection. She loves you, and now she wants to do for you what you did for her. That is reciprocal, and she will always be there for you. But another thing you're missing is that it was fulfilling to do the work that you did.
Yes, it was.
And I can imagine that you're thinking, well, gee, now I miss my wife and the work. And what now? I feel alone, as you must, because I'm sure you were with her constantly.
Right.
And so you probably feel alone, and then you feel, well, like some Olympic athletes. They win the gold medal, and then believe it or not, they go into depression because they accomplished what they went out, they set out to accomplish, and it's like, what can ever replace this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can relate.
It felt like a marathon, and I was really
yes.
Depths of joy at the end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so you're going to have to treat your life a little bit like a racehorse that won the Kentucky Derby. They don't just take him and put him in a stall. Do you know what? They gallop that horse around the racetrack for several miles. They don't let him stop.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you should offer your service to others for a little while.
Yeah,
did you think about
to do that? Yes, I'm beginning to do that. And amazingly, half a dozen people have contacted me, and I go to a grief support group, and I've recruited a half a dozen other men who've lost their lives, and we've become a support group of grieving men for each other.
That's great. See,
good.
Building community is another thing, because we don't accomplish anything that's truly worthwhile alone. And that's another answer to what Helen was saying. There are some things in life we have to do for ourselves. You know, sometimes we just have to take our own lessons to task and learn what we need to learn. Sometimes we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. You know, we have to have our prayer time alone and our meditation time alone. And sometimes it's good just to go for a walk by ourselves. There is a value to alone time, but we really don't accomplish anything great alone, because we are a collective soul.
Right.
And so it's so good that you're connecting with other men that went through what you went through. And then if you can extend the great value of what you learned with your wife, and help other men who are going through it, but not on the back end. They're in the process.
Sure.
You could be such a support to them, because they're anticipating, they're already anticipating what you're experiencing. You know how you anticipated that for years before it came.
Yes.
And you dreaded it. Well, they're feeling the same way. And now you can be that source of compassion for them. And you could actually join in prayers with them. And what about with your, in your support group, with the men who've lost their wives? What about in one of your meetings, have a meditation or prayer that calls in the wives that have gone on to higher ground and get them in a support group on a higher plane, so that they're in a support group on higher ground supporting all of you guys.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so then you build a community on earth supported by a community in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know your wife is missing you, but how about all the other wives that are missing their husbands and would love to communicate with them, but maybe it's not so easy to make that connection. And you know why? Because they don't want to make their husband sad. I think this is one of the reasons why people who depart pull away, because they know we're going to feel sad if they connect with us. And they think that we will feel better and get on with our life if they just wait for us on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Absolutely.
They're doing it out of love. They're sort of disconnecting, but not for loss of love. They're disconnecting out of love because they don't want us to stay grieving and to stay in that connection with someone who's passed on when we still have life to live.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it for us, but they might be more willing to connect if they did it together.
Sure.
And if they knew it wasn't hurting us.
Mm-hmm.
How's that for an idea?
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
Okay. Give it a try and see if it works.
Okay.
And I will, what was your wife's name?
June.
What?
June.
Oh, June. Okay.
June. Yeah.
I will remember June in the blessing, okay?
Okay.
And your name?
Jerry.
Jerry. June and Jerry. Okay. We'll just think of June and Jerry in the blessing today. And send love and renewed wedding vows and connection for you both.
I'm very grateful. Thank you.
You are so welcome, and much love to you, Jerry. So I'm just going to kind of scan through the board because it seems like this was just a day when we needed to have community connection. And sometimes that's just what it's all about. It's life as it's happening, life the way we live it, and life the way we need to just dive into it and move on into it. We have one more caller I'm going to take real quick, and then we're going to move into our blessing today. Area code 281, and you're on. Hello. You may have to unmute your call. I hear you. Just speak up.
Hello.
Hello. We hear you.
Hello. Oh, good. Oh, good. I was loving what you said about community.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kathleen from Houston.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, darling. I just provided something for Community College that was a fundraiser for a fund that I started for the music theater program, and we rehearsed for like 6 weeks, and it was a gorgeous show, but the heavens burst forth with lots of rain Thursday night and kept away much of the audience, so we didn't earn anything.
Oh.
We broke even.
Oh, dear.
So, but not all is not lost. We had four major teachers there. The director of the art program was there, saw what we did. She pulled the purse strings for our budget from the school. So, and then we videotaped it. So I realized that the effort that Yeshua said, when we put forth honest efforts on our path, which was right on my path, that abundance will follow, and it may not always show up right away.
That's right. It may not show up around the first bend of the road, but you will know to keep moving if it's your path.
And I know it's my path.
And if you have support and you're with community.
Yes.
This is what we're going to, all of these principles we're going to cover in our webinar. It is a powerful webinar and one of the best bargains anybody could ever, ever, ever get, and so much fun. So I really want to invite all of you onto it. If you didn't get an email about it, just go to our website, inspiredorigination.com. And click on the seminar webinar category, and it's right there on the website. So, or look for the next time I send a mailing out. Okay,
well,
we need to
join
on with our blessing though today.
Okay,
because people do come in at 3:30 or our time 3:30, whatever 30-minute time zone they're in. People do come on for the blessing, so let's honor that. And let's move into the blessing with a spirit of peace and reverence, looking for the inner glow and that inner joy within ourselves. No matter what we're experiencing externally, even if we're afraid or we're in grief, we're in loss or alone, there's that little spark inside that we can always touch, which is our inner joy. We brought it into this life with us, and it's all about remembering who we are and that we're a child of God, even if we don't know why in the world we're here, what in the world we're doing. It's our little touchstone. We can be there, and that's in our sacred heart. Let's fall into that area and just be in that place of inner peace as we call forth the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the grace of God our Father, of all of our angels and guides to be here with us. And I'm going to put us in the lecture. so that there will be only background quiet as we go into this place. And just be in that place of peace now. I will say my prayer to Yeshua. Then the blessing givers and I will call forth this energy, which is always available to you. But sometimes we don't know how to connect with it or activate it or pull it into our receiver. That's all we help you do. It's all from God. It's all from Christ. It's all from the Holy Spirit. It's not from us. We're messengers that help it arrive in your heart to do its work in your life. And then from your life to bring you into being a sending signal out into the world. As soon as we finish the conveyance, I want you to go and rest and only receive. Just receive. Don't continue your prayer after that point. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Brother of Man, the one who came to give us the courage, the love, the light, the inspiration, and the understanding we need to live the life we came to live and to find within that light, that life, our spirit of purpose and our inner joy, that we may walk our path through whatever challenges and hurdles we might encounter, knowing that this is what we came for. And on the other side, we will be in the most beautiful light and joy and bliss of fulfillment. We ask that you be with those who have not discovered this, who maybe strayed from their path, or they've fallen into a dark night of the soul. Perhaps they've lost hope, or perhaps they're in a place of the world with so much trouble. They find it easy to forget who they are or to lose the love that's within them. We ask that you be with them and that you help them to receive the love and the signals we're sending out this day to everyone, to the children, to the shut-ins, to those in hospitals, to everyone, including those in success and joy, that their success and joy may be a cup overflowing for everyone else. So we ask for universal blessings for all of us, that we may all join hand in hand to become a better community here on earth for the fulfillment and blessing of God, our Creator. Amen. Let us begin. Your blessing conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. It's okay if you rest longer or even fall asleep. But don't think during those first 7 minutes. Just receive. Let yourself be a blank slate on which the blessings of life can be written and offered for your fulfillment. And if they don't show up immediately, be open to them showing up in the next few days, weeks, or months. I look forward to seeing you on the call board again next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and bye-bye for now.